Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, awesome people. Welcome to the last Monday of the month's Awesome Today episode.
Indeed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? I am Carlito.
I forgot where we
this
were.
This is my wife.
Wait.
Señorita Espinosa.
Wait, is that right? Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I know this because the last Monday of the month episode is the clothing optional episode.
You look forward to it
for
all month.
Both recording and listening.
Why are you so weird?
Why am I so weird? Have we not ever figured that out yet still? It's been so many years of that question over and over again.
Are you going to say who we are?
I did.
What?
Carlito and my wife, Señorita Espinosa.
You look so weird.
Okay.
I am too. We are birds of a feather who do in fact flock together.
Is that what we do?
Yeah.
Flocking?
Yep. That's why we have all these kids.
Okay. Careful. Don't flock around. You'll find out.
Yes, that's right. I might make that the episode title.
Well, that's
don't
that works
flock
for me.
Around or you will find out.
Okay. Good talk. Where are we at? What's going on?
I'm weird. I'm in a weird mood.
You are in a weird mood. You were both laughing and crying earlier.
I might laugh and cry during this recording.
It's highly probable. That's why I brought in both a rain slicker and a set of earplugs.
You should have brought Kleenex.
For who?
Me.
Oh, you got your own Kleenex stash.
Do I?
Don't you?
I'm in a weird mood. I don't even know what's going to happen on this recording. You are in a stable mood, so that's good.
Okay.
You have to be the stable one.
I'm not sure how to take that or what to do with it. It's a little concerning. I've never been the stable one, have I?
Oh.
I was a stable boy when we first met.
You've always been the stable one. That's why.
I've always been a stable boy.
You.
I saw Jesus born that way. It's quite a sight. Quite a sight. All right. Now we're going to hell. Now what? What else do we need to get checked off the list for today?
Well, we have a couple of things rummaging around in our old brains in the old content drawer.
And over here on the desk side table where we record, there's a rectal thermometer. So
it's
who knows?
Not rectal.
Who knows? Well, sure it is.
It's oral.
Every thermometer that gets used rectally is a rectal thermometer. Ask any nurse.
Yeah. I was going to say we've been rummaging around in the junk drawer metaphorically of content to see what we could maybe talk about this week.
That's what we call the back pockets of my pants, the junk drawers.
Before we get into our various topics, is there anything going on that we're interested in or that we've checked out?
Well, this weekend, this past weekend.
Yeah.
I'm not a big movie watcher anymore.
Yeah.
I used to be. There was a time there was a place where
You loved films.
Loved a movie.
Yes.
Movie a day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't think of anything good to spin off from that. But mm-hmm. I haven't watched a movie in a long time. One of my twin boys was asking if I would watch a movie with him. Now, mm-hmm. he's been building into this. Because mm-hmm. he started out with the softball of, would you read a comic with me?
Oh, yeah.
And it was funny because I told him I would, and I told him it'd be on the weekend. Yeah. This was in the middle of the week he'd asked.
He
showed up Friday, not yet the weekend. He was like, Dad, I think I didn't keep a promise to you. I think we were supposed to read a comic book together.
Oh, why are the twins sweetest little boys?
We had to turn it around and make me feel like a jerk. But that was last, like,
oh, like the weekend
2 weeks
before?
Ago was
oh,
the comic book.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
But this weekend, all week, he'd been like, you watch a movie? Yeah, you watch a movie?
So he transitioned. He was like, forget the comic. Forget the reading.
We did read the comic.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay. And then it was the movie.
Yeah, then he twisted the throttle and was like, how about a movie, huh?
How about a major? So
I agreed, but I wasn't going to watch something stupid.
Yeah.
He's all into all of the superhero stuff.
Very much so.
And he likes Iron Man, and so he'd suggested maybe Iron Man. I said, okay, but it's got to be the first one from mm-hmm. 2008. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a new watch that nobody's aware of.
It is a 16-year-old movie.
It's a 16-hour-long movie. It was an eternity. But I watched that with him yesterday, and it reminded you that you liked it, and
I watched
10 minutes of it with you before I fell asleep last
night. Yeah, it's true. I started watching it last night. That's a great movie.
It is.
Was that or was that not the actual launch pad for what we now know as the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
I think so. Now, that same year, and I believe it was after, I think there was a Hulk movie also that came out.
Oh, yeah. That's the Edward Norton Hulk.
I believe so.
Yes.
And then, but it was the Iron Man movie also that gave fodder to what eventually became the TV series of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because that guy, whatever his name is, can't remember.
And that was on Netflix, right?
I think so, yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's wild. It's wild, all the things we have.
All the intermingling of certain things.
There's a dog trying to get in our room.
Ram through the door. So that's what I did. Everyone feel free to celebrate. Oh, what a good dad.
The boys are very, very deeply ensconced in the Marvel Universe. They keep bringing in, like, oh, let's talk about X-Men. Let's talk about all these side universes. I barely just now know who the Avengers are.
Right. Yeah. So it's a lot to keep up with.
There's a lot. And now they're like, oh, because one of the twins, was it Mac who watched The Dark Knight? This past week?
Ooh, I can't remember which one it was that chose to fire all that up.
I think it was. So he's like, in his own mind, he's like exploring, oh, there's DC versus Marvel. Which one's better? Looking at the cinematic things for each universe. It's a whole thing. I'm just along for the ride.
Yeah. No profanity yet on his part. And I'm proud of that.
I've made them promise they understand.
Not to use profanity?
Until they're 13.
Okay.
That is the cutoff.
Well, we got a couple years. Be sure to get them coached up on all the words.
Yep. They probably know all the words. And they know when they are 13, they have a little bit more freedom.
When do you feel like you knew all the words?
There were words I didn't know until I was late in teenhood.
Wow.
Bear in mind, you were very advanced. You knew most of the words in elementary school.
Well, let's be clear. I knew all the words by age 5.
All of them?
Yes.
Lord of mercy. That's Nico's age.
He's 4.
Almost 5.
And he probably
5.
Knows 3/4 of them at this point. I grew up, my sibling, my one sibling was 6 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And the first couple neighborhoods I can remember living in, the youngest other person that I would have hung out with was the same age distance. And so I got an early education.
I posit the theory, this might be partially explaining the difference. I'm the oldest in my family. And so any older kids that came into my family's universe, if you will, were my friends. And so I was quite the goody-goody. I still am, if you don't mind my saying.
Well, and I suppose in some way, shape,
Wait, you're not going to push back on that?
It does explain Emily's potty mouth.
Mm-hmm, yes. All of that to say, I was advanced in my teen years before I had a grasp. Now, here's a mildly amusing thing.
Once you got through that point, you really twisted off?
Well,
and that's kind hilarious.
Of, but only under certain circumstances. You're familiar with my high school friends, Jamie, Andy, Laura.
The Fantastic Four.
The Fantastic Four.
Which is you as the fourth, if nobody put the math together there.
The four of us would have, occasionally, this is so embarrassing. You guys have to remember, we were peak 90s evangelical youth group culture.
Okay? Yes. Virginity rings.
Oh, the whole thing.
All the
things. We were on the cutting edge of everything that could be evangelical youth culture. But the four of us, every now and again, we would get together and do what we called an FCN. FCN was a
F-ing
cussin' night.
Okay. And so you just cussed as much as you could?
All four of us, every word. We were like probably like kindergartners with our usage. We didn't know how to use them. We'd be driving around town, maybe go to Walmart, maybe go somewhere to get some fast food. And we would just, any combination of things, we would just let it all loose. But it was only on FCN, and it was only the four of us who could partake.
Right. Yeah. Right. And this was before we had the Pocket Spy. The mobile phone.
Oh, gosh,
listened in and watched every.
No, nobody knew. Just the four of us. We were ensconced in privacy for our FCNs.
This is, you have never told me this. It's fascinating. And I'm not sure what to do with it yet, but I'll hang on to that and something will be made of it.
Okay.
Does that terrify you?
I rarely use the first names of the Fantastic Four.
Yes. I'll put the last names in the show notes.
No. Some of them would not want to be mentioned in public life now.
I would guess all of them would prefer to be left off this list.
Some of them have actual professional positions where they don't want to be outed for any of this. Okay.
Exciting times. We found a cool thing.
Did we?
Didn't we? We found a cool thing this week. Actually, I'd found him a couple weeks ago on TikTok, of course, because that is both our news and entertainment.
Mm.
Sorry, Congress, you can't stop it.
Is Congress going to stop it?
No, I don't think so. It's all just to distract us from whatever else is going on. Anyway, that's negative. This is positive. I ran across a YouTuber / TikToker / author / comedian /
Aussie.
Musician / Australian. His he chooses not to reveal his surname. His first name is Nat, N-A-T, and he goes by, his channel is Nat's What I Reckon. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I reckon, but you see the fun play of words with his name, Nat. If you're offended by profanity, one, I don't know why you're listening to this show. Two, don't listen to him. But he's most everything I've seen on TikTok is cooking related from him.
He's a chef.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Did I not say that?
I don't think you made that
clear. Okay. Chef and all the other things I listed.
Yeah.
And it's quite entertaining. I also quite enjoy listening to Australian slang.
Me too.
It's fascinating.
I love it.
I love it. It's good stuff. So he's really good. Is there anything particular that you would identify and say, I liked that thing, or just here's a general concept about him that I enjoy?
Wait, let's pause on that for a second.
Okay.
You're like, damn it, could you keep the thread going?
Are you going to laugh, cry, or both? What's happening?
No, you said you enjoy Australian slang. You listen to some YouTubers who are either Australian or New Zealanders.
Yes.
I feel like there's probably a lot of crossover between Aussie and New Zealander.
Language pattern-wise, yeah.
What's one of your favorite things? I have something in mind. Maybe I shouldn't just open it up like this. The yeah, no, no.
Yeah, no, yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yes. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I don't even know how to frame that. It's like, it's almost like an Italian version of forget about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, no, yeah. And moves on through a thing. There's a lot of things. I like that they call beers frothies.
Uh-huh, yes, yes.
It's entertaining to me. I'm sure it's not entertaining to them. It's just what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
Hmm.
They they like to, when they're talking about doing something, I'm just going to bang this over here. Yeah. I'm going to bang that over there.
And Nat does that a lot. Mm-hmm. He'll be like, I'm going to bang this in the fridge or whatever.
Right.
I really like Nat. I like his irreverence. Mm-hmm. I love that he is very obviously trained in his craft, but mm-hmm. also he is like, hey, do it this way. Don't do it that way. Like, he's very... you can tell he knows what the rules are, but he doesn't feel constricted to go by the rules.
Yes. I think, and you tell me if I'm wrong, I think he and I share a perspective on things of, yeah, we would go to the nth degree to learn all the minutiae and detail about something, and only then recognize how much of it's bullshit and make a big effort towards the old 80-20 rule and just be like, hey, so you don't have prosciutto, use bacon, use this, use that, whatever,
yes,
and bang it in the pan and go.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
He almost as a theme, because he has books around this as well. He's on a campaign to take humanity away from jarred sauces and jarred pre-prepared things and be like,
oh, yes,
look, this is easy.
Yeah.
Just do this.
Yeah. 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 For sure.
So entertaining and educational and healthful.
I feel like he helps you. He's very empowering mm-hmm. in what he's teaching. I didn't realize until you were doing some research on him prior to our recording that he has actual books or cookbooks?
Yes. Okay. At least two or three, and then some life advice things. Now, backing up a little bit, in the skimming and scanning that I did, it looks like his passion for good and healthful food came about because he had tuberculosis and had a lung removed and
what
kinds of stuff. He's a young guy.
A lung removed?
I believe that's what I saw. And so he was just really inspired to be like, I got to eat better, take care of myself and stuff. And then, like I said, probably learned everything and then thought, why do people make this all so hard? It's actually not that hard. And Lord started his mission.
Okay.
So, interesting guy. Mm. Interesting material, entertaining material. I've not yet gone to a full-on YouTube video. That's on the schedule to check out. Just the TikToks alone. I have a feeling the TikToks alone are like edited down YouTube videos.
Yeah, for sure.
Some of them get a little over-edited, but they're still good. They're
I don't
still
like good. The over-editing, but no, I really like him. He is a delight. Every time he comes up on your TikTok feed, we do pause to watch him.
Yes.
Speaking of cooking stuff, we did a few new things this past week.
We broke protocol for the Sunday feast in a major way.
Well, let's go back a little before that.
Okay.
Sam's Club.
Sam's
I said their names out loud. They're not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. Losers. Waltons suck. Sorry.
There's a local warehouse club that doesn't start with C where I go often to...
We call it Club Club. It does start with C.
Club Club. I went to Club Club to do our weekly stock up as I do every week. That's why it's called the weekly stock up, you see.
That's right.
They had fresh, never frozen lamb roast. Roasted roast lamb, lamb leg for roasting, whatever you want to call it.
They barely even shaved it before they put it out for sale.
Now, I realize this, it's springtime. People like to do a lamb at Easter. Like, I see all of the things. We've barely dabbled, I feel like, in the world of lamb.
It's never been a good quality of lamb that was available to us.
This was a great price on a lot of meat right at home. I attempted.
That's an interesting quantity. Is that what it said on the package? Yep. There was little, some, and lotta.
Yep.
And you picked lotta?
I picked a lotta, of course, because we're feeding a lot of people. A lot of meat for a lot of people. We did a lamb roast. I, myself, was... Now, this was a boneless leg of lamb.
Yeah.
I think this is where I effed up.
The bone is better?
I think bone-in on a leg of lamb... When you're roasting it, I think you're going to have a better experience.
What if it's a Lego lamb?
Well,
don't eat it.
What if it was a Lego waffle, but it tastes like lamb when you eat it?
Ego. I said Lego.
I know, but that's where my mind.
An Ego lamb waffle?
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Like a little jalapeno jelly on there, maybe?
Well, that'd be kind of good, though.
Okay. We can make.
No, I don't want to do it. Don't want to do it.
Lego Legos.
Look. I need you to shut up while I say this, because I already know what you're going to say.
Ugh.
That leg of lamb roast, I overcooked it. And
it I'm shaking my head silently in disgust.
It was edible, but it did not live up to its potential.
You
and that's an error on my part.
Are dumb.
Okay, well, I disagree. Well, I am dumb, but not because I think that leg of lamb was dropped.
So, what did you... You've never cooked lamb before.
No.
And when's the last time you ate a succulent, juicy piece of lamb?
I don't know.
Never? I don't even know if it's possible.
So you're saying that the fault is not in our stars, dear Brutus, but in ourselves? to quote a little Shakespeare at you. Are you saying that the problem was with the meat, not the preparation of it?
I'm saying that a chunk of meat that big with no bone in it, and we cooked it in record time and all kinds of things. It wasn't dry. There was still moisture in it. It was a little tougher maybe than what you would have preferred, but you didn't slow cook it all day. You didn't do things that you would do to a giant slab of muscle meat to make it tender all the way through.
That's gracious of you to say.
It's true is what it is. I have no shits to give about offending people that I love with truth, because I believe that truth is love.
Yes.
I do. I'm not going to march in and be like, this is terrible. I'm just going to be like, you know where this would really taste good? In the trash can.
I don't know. I feel like the lamb, preparing lamb, is about to become my white whale.
No. Well, it will be as long as you pick that. Way to go.
Because I just want to figure out, how do you do it well?
Well, maybe check Nat's
They've got a lot of lamb.
Makes a lamb dish.
They got a lot of lamb down there, especially in New Zealand.
Well, that's not where he's from.
I know that, but they're their closest neighbors.
Paddle across on a surfboard,
maybe,
and ride a seabound lamb back to his homeland.
Yes,
smacking its bottom to make it swim faster.
Indeed. Okay, we did that. That was a new thing.
We tried it. It was good. What all seasoning did you put on it? There was oil. There was salt, pepper, garlic.
Yeah, and there was mint.
Yes.
Fresh mint.
Mint is really good on lamb.
Yeah. Didn't we have some turmeric? Or was the turmeric just for the rice, maybe?
I don't remember if that went on the lamb or not. You were doing all the seasoning.
Yeah. I don't even remember. There was garlic. Oh, I made slits in the lamb itself and shoved some garlic down in there.
Garlic up in the lamb.
I mean, it was okay. It was fine. But I remain intrigued as to how to make a delicious, like a memorable lamb roast.
It was memorable. The kids all ran around bleating for the next six hours. We couldn't even get them to go to sleep.
Now, last night, as we record, no, not last night, night before. Wait, no, it was last night.
Last night, as we record.
Last night, yeah. I said, hey, I found this pork chop recipe, boneless center cut pork chops. And it was an Italian preparation called salt in bocca or something like that.
I can look. I think I still have the link that you sent me. Entertain the people.
Yeah, it was like a...
I found it.
Oh, okay.
Saltimbocca.
Yeah,
all one word.
Salt in bocca.
Or is it saltimbocca?
Saltimbocca.
Something. With peas, except we didn't do the
peas. We didn't do peas. I like peas. No one else likes peas.
I like peas. Okay. I like peas.
Okay. That you, as a labor of love, helped prepare.
I did.
Because the recipe gave you fits.
Well, it was honestly, and this wasn't planned, it plays in exactly to the that's what I reckon theme of I had to read through that recipe like 20 times just to be like, what the hell are you trying to do here? Now measure 1/4 teaspoon of salt and put it in your left eye and then squat down and make thrusty motions. It was all weird.
That was the weirdest
part. With the recipe, well, it felt good doing it, but it was, kids thought it was weird. Like, what the hell is Dad doing in the kitchen? We promised we wouldn't curse until we were 13, but this is ridiculous. It was a whole thing. It was a whole thing. Simplified what they wanted done.
Yeah.
Is a very standard procedure where you take your slab of meat, you do a little flour on the outside. You sear, brown it, sear it in a pan, set it off to the side, do more stuff in there with some veg and some fat, and then put the meat back in, cover it with, what was it, prosciutto and...
Fontina
cheese, and then throw that in the oven, and then hurry like hell to cook up your side and get that ready so that it's done at the same time. That's all they were trying to do.
I thought it turned out freaking delicious.
Had white wine in it, which you drank all of, and I didn't even get to use it.
That is untrue, but I did drink a not small amount of it.
When I warmed the bottle up with my hands, I was able to get just a little more alcohol to release on the sides of the glass. There's like 3 drops of booze in there.
I like to drink white wine like 3 or 4 times a year. And when I do, I fully drink it. And then I'm like, that's it. I'm good.
It's FCN night.
Maybe that's why I feel so weird today.
Could
drink too much white wine yesterday.
Could be.
No, I'm not a big white wine person, but anyway, whatever. It turned out really good because of you.
Well,
now, you woke up this morning in a cold sweat, and what were the first words out of your mouth?
That's unfair. The first words were, I gotta poop! And that's had nothing to do with this story. I slept 9.5 hours last night.
What? Are you sick? Are you okay?
Now, here's what I think is going on. I've lived most of my life on somewhere between 4 and 6 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
I stay busy. I do stuff. I like to, whatever. I like to read. I like to watch shows. I like to do something. But then here for the last, what shall we say, 6-8 months, I've kind of really been zeroing in on some stuff in the professional world of what I'm pursuing. And it's been so interesting, so fascinating to me, so desperately necessary to figure things out that I'm like, I don't watch TV. I don't read the news. I just, my every waking moment, except for portions of the weekend, I'm digging around on that thing. But in the last 10 days, 14 days time, I think I'm at the end. If I'm not at the end of all of that, I'm so near that my body's just now like, okay, well done. Now it's time to not die. It's time to recover. It's time to actually sleep. And so I don't think I've set an alarm to wake up in the morning in 5 years.
Yeah.
And I just naturally wake up and go.
Yeah.
But letting that happen now, that meant last night was just shy of, a lot of sleep. And so I really do think my body's just like, it's time. You've done well. Now let's live to enjoy it.
Yep. Good.
So that being said,
yeah,
a normal Sunday for me is to get up before the people, because I don't purposefully change my sleep patterns over the weekend. I just stay kind of in my rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm up before everybody, I kind of brainstorm and think, what should the feast be? Because we like a Sunday feast.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't take long as I was looking through things. And I think I was scrolling through recipes from Babish.
Yeah.
And I saw fish and chips. And I was like, ooh, I want fish and chips. And I looked at his recipe and I thought about the resources available to us here in this kitchen of this rented place that is furnished, and it's not our dishes and it's not our pans and pots and stuff. Small stove, inadequate space to cook properly for 7 people anyway. And I was like, ugh, I want fish and chips, but I want no part of what it's going to take to get that done in this house. Now, I went ahead and went to the grocery store, and mainly because that was... because I drank the last of the coffee and you weren't awake yet. And I knew she's going to want some coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and bought coffee, and then I got suckered and I bought some of the crappy little freezer. Fruit ices. What are those called?
Well, a brand name we used to buy when I was a kid, Otter Pops.
Otter Pops.
I call them Squeeze Pops now, but.
Same thing, different wrapper.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just basically knockoff Kool-Aid that's frozen in a tube of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
I saw those. I got duped into buying those for the kids.
Duped by yourself.
Duped by myself because I like my kids. I'm like, hey, I remember eating garbage. I'm going to feed my kids garbage.
Oh, man, they love those things.
They love them. Fish and chips. And so instead of trying to pursue all of that tedium, I was like, I'm going to completely break Sunday feast format. And we're going to buy the food made. Dug around on the interwebs. I found a place that would deliver through Uber Eats that made, honestly, what I think is the Long John Silver's of our childhood before it got nasty. And yeah. It's nasty now.
Yeah.
But it wasn't back then. So it's a beer battered cod and French fries and hush puppies and
yeah.
Oh, all the things.
And
it was good. It was worth it.
It really hit that fish and chip spot.
It did. I even broke out the malted vinegar to put
yes,
on that.
Yes.
Went all British about it.
Indeed.
That wasn't a British accent, by the way. I was getting guttural in my statements because I was tasting it as I said it.
Good.
What would you think of it? Besides, don't just be like, oh, yeah, it was great. Da, da, da.
It was great.
You'll do that to try to make me feel good.
It was great. It really, truly, it did remind me, and I said it as we were eating, and this reminds me of Long John Silver's when I was in high school, when it was good. So when I was in high school, we had off-campus lunch, and within driving distance to where we could get there, hork down some food. Mm-hmm. And I mean, truly, it was horking.
Yes. Wow. We got a snort, ladies and gentlemen.
It was. We ate like, I can't even say how fast it was. It was so fast. Okay. There was like four restaurants, and I say restaurants, they're fast food places. Mm-hmm. We could get to. We could go to Pizza Hut for the lunch buffet. We could go to Burger King. We could go to Taco Bueno. Does everyone have Taco Bueno?
Probably
does that still exist?
Not everyone. I don't know. Okay. You have to, it feels like anymore, you got to go to a pretty seedy area to get any bueno.
Okay.
It's actually no bueno.
No bueno. And we had Long John's. And so.
By the way, whoever thought to name their taco place effectively Taco Good?
Yes.
I find that fascinating.
If I could find a Taco Bueno, I would eat that.
I would, if I could find a Taco Bueno, I'd open a taco shop next to it and call it Taco So-So.
Okay.
Less Bueno.
Taco Less Bueno.
What's small? Is it Paquito or something like that?
You had Paquito.
Paquito Bueno.
No, I don't know.
Small
how to
good.
Do it.
It's just small good.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Anyway, I ate not a small amount of Long John's in high school, and usually made my tummy upset, but that's because I loved those fried clam strips, which were basically just fried batter.
You fried batter with like old fingernail clippings and stuff in them.
Don't like that
when
idea.
You fry them, they're not so hard to bite through.
Yeah. Well, when we were eating our lunch today, I was like, this reminds me of Long John's in high school in the best way.
Yeah.
Without the gastrointestinal distress.
So, yeah. How many hours of class did you have before lunch?
Well, we had a block schedule.
Yeah.
So you mean like periods of class?
Yeah.
Well, we were either going in between second and third period or in the middle of third period, which was the weird one you didn't want. But inevitably, you're going to get
that. So you had third period gut cramps.
Yeah, definitely.
We had 7 hours of class, and it was after third hour, I believe. Is that right? Maybe it was after fourth hour. It was after fourth hour.
Okay.
So fourth hour lunch, and then we would have fifth hour gut cramps.
Yes.
Nomenclature is important. When I was in high school.
Yeah, you weren't going to the Long John's.
Since you asked. Yeah. We didn't have Long John's. We weren't that fancy.
No.
We had three choices.
Okay. And you had off-campus lunch too.
We did. We had a Sonic drive-in, but there was, and if you didn't get there immediately, you weren't going to get your lunch in time, even to eat it while you drove back. It just wasn't going to happen. There was a...
And by the way, it was when Sonic was locally owned in Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah.
The Sonic
It's a burger drive-in joint.
The Sonic of the national chain variety now is but a mere shadow of how good it was when we were kids and in high school, when it was Oklahoma owned and there was just You could right, only go right. to Sonic, basically, in Oklahoma, maybe Texas. It was so good. Now I go to Sonic, and I'm like,
yeah, it's just like a salty, soy burger with cancer-causing agents.
Okay, so you had a Sonic.
We had a Sonic. We had a Ken's Pizza that again, if you got there really fast, you might be able to run through the buffet. You weren't going to order a pizza and have it ready in time because we had, I feel like we had, initially we had 45 minutes. Now they didn't really want us going off of campus. Oh, Lord,
that's so generous.
Well, just allow me to finish, Your Honor.
Okay.
That's what we originally had, but they didn't want us going off campus. So every year they shaved time off. And by my senior year, it was technically 30 minutes, but more like 25.
Okay.
It was rough. We had then, we had three places.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 1-2, 3A and 3B.
Yeah.
And 3A and 3B were where everyone went. And they were gas stations
mm-hmm.
that had, you know, the burritos, the chicken tenders, the steak fries, all the fried stuff.
Y'all not have a McDonald's?
No, not then.
Okay.
The nearest McDonald's was like 15 miles away or something.
Okay.
That wasn't going to happen.
Okay.
That was it. And especially as lunch hour started getting pinched
mm-hmm.
on us, there would be one person whose turn it was to drive for the day. And we were really, I feel like we were very industrious.
Okay.
In that as we planned, as a class, because we were class loyal.
Yeah.
Our age, our class. It's almost like there was a meeting, but there wasn't one. But we planned it out. It just always worked out where there was always one of us who had fourth hour, which was right before lunch, office aid.
Oh. Okay.
And that person, you know, you just show a little bit of responsibility, a little bit of willingness to do stuff that the secretary didn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Secretary to the principal, secretary of the whole school.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, oh, yeah, you can go ahead and go 10, mm-hmm. 15 minutes early. Well, that person, whoever's turn it was to drive for the day, that office aide would go and be like, oh, I need so-and-so in the hallway and get that person out of class. They'd go out, they'd get the car ready. And then we were all pretty good, like in the final 2.5 minutes before the bell would ring, we'd be like, hey, I remember one year I had biology, which was right next to a weird stairwell that came out of the side of the school. And Mr. Wellington was the teacher. He was a solid dude. And we'd like, hey, Mr. Wellington, you know, it's like 2.5 minutes. Can we go wait by the door? And he was always going to let us, but he liked to hem and haw and actually mm-hmm. then like 18 seconds, I'd be like, all right, you can go. And we run out. And then we would wait. We're pressed up against the door like a mob at a soccer match. And as soon as the bell rang, bam, the doors burst open. We're running to the parking lot. The person who was driving,
mm-hmm.
and it was preferably somebody either with a pickup truck or with a four-door car.
Yeah.
Would have, if it was a car, all the doors open and the trunk open.
Every day y'all did this.
Yes. If it was a pickup, it was just like, hop your ass in the bed and get ready. Yeah. It was less illegal then than now. We would pile in. There would be, in a four-door car, there'd be four people squeezed into the bench of the back seat with one or two laying across them. There'd be two or three people in the trunk. And sometimes it didn't even bother to close the trunk and that person's tearing out of the parking lot because you had to get there first
mm-hmm.
or you weren't going to get your food and get back on time.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that those gas stations didn't have a whole lot of seating.
No, nor did they have a whole lot of food ready.
Well, they ours did because they knew
it's going to
be that was their money hour.
Freaking football players coming in ordering 10 burritos a person.
No, we didn't have the money to do that. In
they
fact,
were like 50 cents each. I'm just kidding.
Not at Jack Griffith's gas station. They weren't, and they had the good ones. They alternated.
Yeah.
They alternated. There'd be two burrito days proper. There'd always be some burritos, but two heavy burrito days proper.
Yeah.
And they would rotate between bean, which everybody's like, okay. Bean and cheese, which was like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then kind of on an off schedule, they had barbecue burritos. And those, you'd fight somebody for one of those.
Sure.
I may or may not have. I'll not incriminate myself.
Okay. Fair.
So that was our lunch experience. We didn't have any Long John Silvers, no Bueno Tacos, no, none of that. In fact, yeah, we had to drive 30 miles to get somewhere that had a fast food, Mexican food place.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even know how privileged I was.
Well, you know, you were in Ardmore. It's basically a suburb of Norman, right?
Yeah, by Oklahoma standards.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, you got me all spun up on that.
Well, let's take ourselves out to the Pacific Northwest. You're familiar with it.
The old PNW.
The old PNW.
Or PNW.
I would like to bring up the fact that we saw a TikTok this week on your feed. You get all the good stuff about Mel's Hole.
Yeah. He's now got one.
You heard of this before. I never had.
I had, but I didn't remember having heard about it until I saw the thing and I was like, wait, what? And then I had to do just a little bit of digging and I was like, yep, heard about it.
One thing that you and I missed out on, and I feel like in our childhood, teen years, was listening to AM radio.
Oh, I didn't miss out on that.
What the heck?
Where you been?
I never listened to it. What were you listening to on the AM?
Well, every weekend, my dad and I would end up listening to portions of collegiate ball games.
Okay, see, I wasn't a big sports listener.
Well, I wasn't either. I just happened to be working with my dad in the garage, and that's what he was going to play.
We've referenced my grandfather, who would sit in the kitchen and listen to baseball games.
Bernard
and I'm sure those
AM.
Were on the AM.
Yeah.
Well, from 1989 to 2007, in the year of our Lord, you could go on to the AM radio.
It's almost 20 years, right?
Yeah, late at night, and you could find Art Bell's Coast to Coast. Art Bell.
Okay.
Coast to Coast Radio.
Is he related to Rob Bell?
I don't think so.
Bell Telephone?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, on Art's show, it was late at night on the AM. This is when people felt the boldness to call in and talk about their paranormal experiences.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Exactly. People would call in about seeing a UFO.
Yo.
Now we call them UAPs, but back in the day, they were a UFO.
It'll always be a UFO to me.
They called in about doing some occult stuff or observing it being done.
Any probing?
Have you ever played with a Ouija board?
I thought you were asking me if I've ever probed myself. It's like, easy now. That's for OnlyFans. That's not for this show.
Now, have you ever played with a Ouija board?
I haven't.
I have.
I'm still afraid of them.
I am too, and you should be.
If I saw one, I'd probably run.
I got roped into playing one in fifth grade. And I think
FCN that night?
Nope. This was long before FCN. FCN was child's play compared to playing with a Ouija board.
So you went dark fast and then backed off.
Yeah, because I was terrified.
Okay.
Don't mess around with those Ouija boards.
What did it show you?
Didn't
what did
show
it tell
me nothing.
You?
Showed me, don't mess around with this because you'll get some kind of a spirit attached to you.
Uh-oh.
That well, might explain why I was laughing and crying all day because that spirit has been attached to me since fifth
What's
grade.
What's the spirit's name? What's your name, Ms. Ouija?
Let's don't talk about it anymore. It's freaking me out. Okay. Anyway, people will call in and talk about that. They would talk about their conspiracy theories.
Perfect. Okay? AM radio is the right place for conspiracy theories.
Especially in the pre-internet days. That's probably why Art Bell had to end his show in 2007, because then people are just taking all their material to the internet.
Like, you won't even pay me. I can get views for this.
Well, yeah, exactly. Back on February 21st of 1997, back in the 1900s, right?
Okay.
1997.
I was in college.
Me too. We were in college together.
We were actually together.
We were months away, not months. We were a year and months away from getting married.
It's not a year.
A year plus months.
Months. In 97.
We got married in 98.
Yeah, that's not, 97 to 98 is not a year plus.
We got married in June of 98. So the maths.
Okay.
A year plus some months.
Okay, hey, for the record, you're right.
Okay.
But don't get used to it.
Okay. So Bell, Art Bell, he had a caller. He identified himself as one. Mel Waters lived near Ellensburg, Washington State.
Okay. And he said, hey, you want to see my hole?
He did. He basically did. He said that he lived out there in, you know, out there in rural.
The boonies.
Rural Washington State. And out in his property, southwest of the city, there was something unusual. It was a giant.
It was Tom Jones trying to tell everybody it's not unusual. He even wrote a song about it.
Yeah. Big old hole in the ground. Now, he knew that people had used that hole to dump things like garbage, even cars.
Dead bodies.
Dead bodies, for sure.
Actually, true. Livestock, though, not humans, yeah. As far as anybody will admit to.
No matter what people tossed down that hole in his property, never filled up.
Never filled up.
Never could see the top of the garbage pile.
He was curious about the depth.
Yeah.
He knew the width. He didn't know the depth.
Now,
what kind of a man are you if you don't know the depth?
Mel claimed that people had seen a beam of, I don't understand how this works, black light shining from the hole. How is light black?
Well, black light's what they use to find semen at the crime scenes.
Yeah, how's that going to shine up out of a hole, though?
Well, somebody down there is looking for semen, I guess. I don't know.
You're familiar with this part of the story, I believe. Somebody dumped their old dead dog in the
This one was the one that caught my attention the most.
They disposed of their deceased dog. I shouldn't speak
error. They didn't kill it. The dog died of
the dog was dead. The
causes.
Dog was dead, and they didn't want to bury it. And they said, "We'll just put it down here in this hole.
Put it in Mel's hole."
And then guess what happened? Dog shows up fully alive in the woods a few days later.
I thought it was on their porch. Is it in the woods?
Now, there's varying accounts of that.
Fair enough.
Some people said it was on their porch. Some people said it was out in the woods. But basically, a dog was alive. Dog was resurrected.
It was the Jesus dog.
It was. Now, Mel Waters told Art Bell, that the hole was about 9.5 feet across.
Which is not that huge.
No. The walls seemed to be fairly smooth. He got real curious about what was going on down there and how deep does this hole go down. So he tied himself a roll of Lifesavers candy on a fishing line and started just lowering it down into the hole. See how far can it go?
That wasn't the first effort.
Oh, well, you tell me what you know about this. I'm going off a report from the Yakima Herald Republic.
Okay.
Which I will link to in the show notes.
Well, as I read it, and I really identified with Mel in this moment.
Yeah.
The first thing he did was he found like a big wrench. He threw it in there. It's like, I didn't hear anything. And so he goes through a series of throwing shit down the hole, trying to hear if it hits, and he never hears anything.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, then he starts going through like fishing line and cables and stuff. And he just, the thing I read, does it say in that report did he ever land on a number?
Here's what this says, that eventually with his fishing line, he went up to 80,000 feet.
Okay. Well,
that's slightly more than 15 miles of line and still hadn't hit the bottom.
That's bigger than what I'd read.
Okay.
I think I'd read that he'd gone up to 36,000-ish feet and still not found bottom.
Well, this newspaper is reporting 80,000 feet.
I saw something. And I don't recall the details precisely, but whatever depth it was that he'd tried and still not found bottom of this hole was, in fact, as they calculated it, deeper than the Marianas Trench.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know.
Well, if it wasn't weird enough, this is where the story really gets weird.
Uh-oh. The hole got pregnant.
Might as well have, because Mel told Art and all of the millions of people listening to Coast that night, that he had found a World War II era German pistol in the dirt by the hole, and it didn't make any sound when he fired it, but it would cause a radio, listen to this, a radio to receive broadcasts from the past.
Hitler.
When put near it.
I'd not run across that at all. That's wild.
Also, on the ground near the hole, he found a red envelope.
Envelope.
That contained 1943 Roosevelt dimes that bore a B mint mark. I don't know what that means.
Well, so, yeah, I'll not mansplain it, but I know what it means.
A few days after he called in, back in the year of our Lord, 1997, Bill called back and said he was away from home, but when he came home, he found his driveway had been barricaded. There were soldiers standing guard that told him there was a plane crash on his property.
Hmm.
Now, Bill was like,
"Your hole is our hole now."
Bill said, "You know what? I'm out of here. And you know where I want to go? Australia.
Nevada."
He said, "I heard in Australia.
Area 51.
He said, "I heard in Australia they got good slang. They've got frothies.
Frothies.
They've got all kinds of things that will keep me protected from whatever's going on my property.
Except for the spiders, the snakes, and the wallabies, and the kangaroos, and the aboriginals, and
whatever's going on in his property, he doesn't even care about that stuff. Well, he's so freaked out.
I don't blame him.
He heads to Australia. He said he's going to grow medicinal plants. We all know that means pot.
Yeah, or mushrooms.
And start a wombat preserve.
Okay.
I can't make this up.
I feel like that's code for mushrooms.
A couple years later, guess who calls back in to Art Bell's Coast to Coast show?
The same soldiers that stood in his driveway.
Nope, it's Mel.
Mel.
He calls
in. He found a new hole.
He calls in April of 2000, and he said, "Oh yeah, I still got that property, but now I'm leasing it for $3 million a year to an unnamed person." And then part of that deal was he, Mel, had to stay in Australia.
Is this now Skinwalker Ranch?
It may very well be, except Skinwalker Ranch, I believe, is in Utah.
Yeah, that's true.
Not Washington State.
Maybe he couldn't find the bottom because magnetism and things, and it turned, and it's actually a U-shaped hole that comes up on Skinwalker Ranch.
Mel's account.
You're not on board with that, are you?
I don't know. Mel's account gets weirder and weirder. I'm not going to dig into the details. I will link to that article from the Yakima newspaper. But it gets wilder and wilder. Now, if you look at the official, and by official, I mean Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's always official.
If you look,
but they do need your donations.
If you look at the Wikipedia entry, it's very short, and it basically says, yeah, the government has determined that no such hole has ever existed in this part of Washington State.
Come on now.
Yep.
This is part of the magic, just as is Skinwalker Ranch and so many other places. This is part of the magic of the, I won't say unsettled, but less settled portions of the nations. If something like this happened in New York, well, there's problems.
Yeah.
We'd all know about it, but that's not where things happen.
Someone even referred to this as a rural myth as opposed to an urban myth or urban legend.
How dare they? How dare they?
But you're right. Like out in these uninhabited.
Why do you think Area 51 is out in the middle of
exactly
the things, right?
Right? Right?
Not that population hadn't grown up around it a little bit, but yeah. Still. All right.
Wait, well, one more thing.
That's interesting. I wasn't ending the episode.
Oh, I thought was that just, was a...
I was all writing to that, you love a segment, to that segment around all the probing into Mel's hole that we've done.
I'm sort of surprised we've never talked about Mel's hole because we do.
Maybe we have. We forget
theory.
About things we talk about sometimes. There's probably somewhere out there in the good listenerhood of awesome, somebody that just frisbeed their phone and skipped it across a lake. Just being like, you've already talked about, don't you remember? It was episode 227.
I love the thought that somebody just skipped. So and feel just rageful.
Yeah.
So fueled by rage.
So, so furious that it actually made it to the opposite shore of the lake. It didn't even get water damage.
I love it.
No bowl of rice required.
I love it. I love it. Okay, one more thing I need to make mention of.
Yes, you do.
Tonight.
Yes, you do.
Tonight is record, and if you're lucky and you're listening on the 25th, you're going to feel the full impact of this. There is going to be a lunar eclipse that kicks off what astrologers...
or astrologers...
call eclipse season.
Eclipse season.
Yeah, boy.
Is that like season of the sticks, but season of the eclipse?
Noah Kahn just was like, what? Who said that?
I've got a new song to write.
It's eclipse season, and tonight we have a lunar eclipse in the constellation of Libra and a full moon in Libra.
What does that mean for the people?
You tell me, what is a lunar eclipse? What is it? Not a solar eclipse.
I feel like lunar eclipse is when the moon is completely on the opposite side of the earth that the sun is on in that moment.
Okay.
I could be wrong. You look it up and I'll sing a little song that I wrote for the Awesomes. Okay. You found it?
I have it looked up.
Good.
So
I didn't actually write a song.
The lunar cycle operates on a rhythm of the sun and moon, known as luminaries, as they move through their 28-day orbit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually, 27 point something.
Okay. The cycle begins with the new moon. We all know this. I was born on a new moon.
Mm, that explains nothing.
Where the moon nestles between the earth and the sun, obscuring the moon in shadow.
So what I just said.
Yeah. Well, then.
I just want everybody to know I was right.
No, this isn't even that's just what a new moon is, not
an
eclipse.
That's a new moon. That's a new moon.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Then the moon accelerates away from the sun, and it becomes a full moon 2 weeks later. It's a cycle, right? Mm-hmm. Now, eclipses disrupt this routine. From an astronomical perspective, eclipses occur when the moon reaches the upper and lower boundaries, also known as the lunar nodes, of its tilted orbit. So this phenomenon, a lunar eclipse, occurs 3 to 7 times a year. And when it does, the moon perfectly aligns with the sun and the earth. The new moon.
In between or on the opposite side?
I don't know. New moons transform into solar eclipses. Okay, that's where the sun's shadowed by the moon. And full moons, that's tonight, become lunar eclipses when the moon is shadowed by the earth.
Okay, that's literally what I said.
It is what you said. You were right. You were right.
Okay.
So we're having this.
No, I wasn't looking for a.
No, you're good.
Celebration.
You
just a
know
validation.
This better than I do, and that's why I asked you. So tonight we have this lunar eclipse in Libra.
So there should be no moon in the sky then.
Right.
Because it can't, from our vantage, it can't see the sun to reflect the sun's light.
Yes, exactly.
So it's a black sky. Different than a blood moon. That's when the zombies.
Well, I think it is actually
that's
a blood
when the
moon
zombies
too.
Run.
Okay. So under the enchanted sky that we're having tonight, we can all be thinking about
sleeping, because that's what I'll be doing.
This is taking place on the Aries Libra axis.
Uh-oh.
Which means that themes around autonomy, partnership, independence, and alliance. See, those are kind of like
maybe that's
colors.
Why you've been cry laughing, because you don't view me as a partner.
Maybe so.
And you wish you could.
Stop it. Aries invites us to celebrate our personal freedoms. Libra encourages us to consider harmony, balance, equilibrium. Now, here's the important thing. Folks who have planets or placements in the cardinal signs, that is Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, I'm a Capricorn rising myself, may experience the lunar eclipse.
I'm a Mel's hole rising.
May experience this lunar eclipse a bit more acutely, but everyone has every zodiac sign in their birth chart, so everyone will be impacted by this lunar eclipse. I do wonder if the reason I've been feeling a little bit manic today is because I do have that freaking Capricorn rising in my chart, which I hate, but it's there. I can't stop it. And if I'm feeling the impact of the lunar eclipse particularly acutely.
Okay. Maybe. Maybe. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. If that's okay. Am I allowed to?
Of course.
Okay. I do think. I don't know. I don't think the stars affect us. I don't think those things affect us. I think those things are more like a celestial timepiece around that could show us, just like hands on a clock, things that we would potentially be susceptible to if we were not purposeful and present and making a choice. Mm-hmm. That a thoughtless reaction. Not determined by the stars, but that's the clock that would say, well, at 5:30, that's when you have happy hour. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way that it works. But then, like, every time it's happy hour, you don't have to go get a drink. It's a choice.
Yes.
If you're present and you're thinking about things and you are responding rather than reacting, you're thoughtful rather than just knee-jerk reaction to things.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my tumultuous relationship with astrology. I refuse to believe that whatever placement was when I was born or whatever it is on this day is going to dictate the outcome of my life.
Okay.
At any given point in time. But I could come alongside and say that timepiece in the sky would say, here's what I may or may not be more the higher probabilistic outcome of a decision in a certain way if I were not purposeful.
So you do, in fact, agree with the Shakespearean play, Julius Caesar.
Et tu, Brute?
The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves, that we are underlings.
Absolutely. Underling when you're not making conscious decisions.
Yeah.
When you're just reacting.
Mm.
I think there's a whole lot to that whole reaction thing and stuff.
All right.
But that's probably, we don't have time for that. We don't have time for that. Everybody's just been naked listening to this episode and starting to feel uncomfortable. Like, I need to put some clothes back on. This last Monday episode is putting me in jeopardy of arrest. So we should probably wrap things up so people can reclothe themselves.
Okay.
Do you disagree with him?
Don't disagree. Don't agree.
Well, then I will say that I might love you, but I will not commit to it in this moment of our conversation.
Thank you.
But I love you, you jerk. It is an awesome day today, and I hope that everyone would rail against anything in the stars that might tell a different story.
Okay.
And that you would choose, purposefully, to just allow an awesome day to occur for you. Okay. So, have a purposeful or accidental awesome today, would you?
Please do.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.